If you haven't noticed, I am not the one who typically gives your sermon every week. So I think it's best if I introduce myself to you all first, because you see David every week and you know him, you guys interact with him and value what he has to say. I don't want you all to lose that feeling of interconnectedness that comes when you hear someone you know reflecting on scripture. And I see this a lot at my school when girls participate in mass or liturgy and they apply our shared experiences to the readings or just provide me with a new perspective that I had never thought of before. So a little about me, my name is Grace Berth and I've been asked to give you all a sermon for Youth Sunday. I am a senior and I am the only senior in Redeemer Youth Group. Fun fact, my Aunt Maggie is the reason why I first got connected with Redeemer in the first place. She gave me the privilege of being an extra in the musical Bye Bye Birdie, my fourth grade year, which I believe was in 2011, and ever since then, youth group has been a part of my life. And it's connected me with people who I would consider some of my best friends. I also did a brief stint in Redeemer's youth choir, which kindly helped me to realize that singing is not my forte. But still, Aunt Maggie does get me to sing every year for our musicals. Maybe some of you don't recognize me. I did play Mr. Banks in Mary Poppins. It's a little bit different when I'm not wearing a poofy gray wig or a top hat or dressed like a man. So, I currently attend the Institute of Notre Dame. Although I can only say that for just a little while longer, because at around 6 o'clock tonight, I will be walking down the aisle of the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen with my dozen roses in hand, ready to receive my high school diploma. I see my mom crying, sorry mom. At IND, I found my place on the field hockey team in clubs like Women's Empowerment Group, Green Club, and Model United Nations. IND has been the source of so many of my most formative experiences, whether it be receiving my junior class ring or banding together when it comes to the loss of a loved one. Now, going into high school, I had people tell me, prepare to face the trivial high school drama. But I thought I was going to be the exception. No, sir, no drama for me. And that was about right for the first 3 years of high school. I never felt a disconnect between my peers or the 78 girls in my graduating class who I call my sisters. But senior year, that dynamic sort of started to shift. Fall, right before school is starting, there's field hockey tryouts. And I had gotten a word that there was a junior who lived kind of far away from school, but sort of in my direction, wanted to be our team manager. And I was so excited because our team is not that popular and it makes things a little hard to operate without a manager. So I contacted her to see if she wanted to carpool. She said yes, and soon after we were together every afternoon. And it wasn't just like a forced carpool situation where the rides are like really awkward, you know? We were instant friends. But sadly, after school had started, a nasty rumor about this girl started to float around our school. Now, this blew my mind, because while she can come on a bit strong, this girl never approaches anyone but with kindness and desire to make new friendships. Suddenly, people who didn't know my friend had an opinion about her. We'd walk into a room, and people would abruptly stop talking or stare. Girls that I had considered my close friends suddenly had an opinion on my new friend without ever entertaining a real conversation with her. It definitely put a big strain on some of my friendships. It was hard for me, but it was even harder for her because she would do nothing but be nice to these girls at my school and she'd be met with snide remarks. It was so hard to believe that these people didn't like my friend who I only knew to be such a genuine person. Now, two of my close friends did take the time to get to know her, and now they would agree that this nasty rumor in no way matched her character. By the end of the school year, some girls started to come around. They would now engage her in conversations that you'd never imagined happen 8 months ago. The chatter and the glares have subsided, but sadly, the stigma surrounding her still persists. So here's what I've taken away from this experience. When a rumor presents itself, people tend to go one of two directions. We either accept it as truth, or be inquisitive and make a more conscientious choice. It was clear in this instance that most people went with that first option. They didn't question this rumor, or at least not enough to get to know my friend before judging her. It was easier and it was safer for them. By not attempting to get to know her, they didn't face being ostracized like she was. Now, don't get me wrong, I am in no way saying that I am above these people who judged her. At the time, I couldn't understand why I could so easily be friends with someone when other people couldn't. In hindsight, I realized that my circumstances were very different from everyone else's. Our friendship was able to grow organically without the influence of this rumor or other people's opinions, which is so different than when everything and everyone around you is telling you that you've heard enough about somebody to judge them, which I'm sure is what most of these girls were facing. The girls who judged my friend have simply yet to learn the lesson that I learned from this situation. One that distinguishes people from believing what they've heard and believing what they know for themselves. That just because something is easiest doesn't always mean that it's right. And while it saddened me that girls weren't coming to this realization themselves, I now know that it's a lesson that they needed to learn on their own time, and it couldn't be forced, just like how I had learned it. That being said, we shouldn't forget that we do have examples that could guide us in how to act when we're presented with situations like these. In the youth's rendition of the first lesson today, we saw that Paul and Silas went to Macedonia knowing that under Roman rule, they were not permitted to worship God. But they did so anyways, and they were taken in front of the market to the magistrates, and they were criminalized for their faith. They were beaten and imprisoned, and still they prayed, and the earthquake came, and they showed the guard that it was okay to have faith, and they shared the word of God. Paul and Silas publicly displayed their faith and were not ashamed. That in no way was the easiest thing to do, but that was the route they chose, and they had confidence in that. They didn't submit and do what anyone expected of them. Paul and Silas made the conscious decision to do what they believed was right rather than what they knew would be easy and safe. Their example shows us that we don't have to go along with the crowd, and that God gave us the ability to be free thinkers, and we should use that gift when we feel called to. But sometimes we need to come to that conclusion on our own. I mean, it wouldn't be free thinking if someone was just like, hey, you need to realize this, and then you went with it. So. This idea translates into so many things in life, and not just the 4 years of high school. We see it when people rally together against injustice they've faced, or in any situation when someone is passionate and refuses to conform, or when someone takes a stand for an ignored cause. To quote Albert Einstein, the person who follows the crowd will usually go no further than the crowd. The person who walks alone is likely to find himself in places no one has ever seen before. This can be seen in many ways, such as in terms of your faith, or like how I made a new friend and a valuable relationship. That being said, sometimes we may be inquisitive, and we may explore other choices, but still come to the conclusion that what most people thought was right is right. And that's okay too. I'm not telling you all just to be different for the sake of being different, because that's silly. Rather, that you shouldn't refrain from making a unique choice because you are afraid. And if you feel called to make a decision, you need to make that decision. Not to sound cliche, but I'm gonna do it anyways, you'll be likely to wonder what could have happened if I didn't make that choice. In my case, I could have been missing out on someone who I now proudly call my best friend. And I also could have completely avoided learning this lesson for myself. In short, when you're faced with a complicated decision and you're torn between what you think is just and what others expect you to do, don't let your self-doubt eat away at you, because God gave us the gift of free will to make our own choices and advocate for what we believe is right. So we would be amiss if we didn't do so to the best of our abilities. I'd like to end with a short prayer for social justice. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving spirit may move every human heart, especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions will disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.